Hey, good evening, everybody. It's time to call to order the Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors for June 3rd. It's 7 o'clock. You all would join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, roll call, please.
Call has been taken. Let the record show all members are present.
Thank you. This is the time for public comments. This is your opportunity to address the board for any item that's not on tonight's agenda. Keep in mind, per the Brown Act, we will not be responding, but if you do want to stick around to the end of the meeting, I'm sure we'll get your question answered. Is there anyone online that has their hands raised?
There are no hands raised.
Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to come up and address the board? Seeing none, we'll close public comments and move to the consent calendar. Is there any discussion?
I'll make a motion to approve the consent calendar. Second.
Roll call, please.
Dr. Belcher?
Aye.
Dr. Graham?
Aye.
Dr. Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Gouteau?
Aye. With that, then we'll move forward to Erie Agency. Do we have any representative from Diane Burgess's office? Or anyone actually online?
Not online, no.
Then we'll move forward to the Sheriff's Report. Lieutenant White, please.
Good evening, Board. Thanks again for having me, as always. For the month of May, there were 325 calls for service for Discovery Bay. 36 reports were drawn and 2 arrests were made. In the coming months, you're probably going to see an uptick in calls for service. It happens every year around this time. It's summertime. So nothing to be alarmed about, but there will be an uptick as the months come on. We've noticed it mostly on the weekends, hotter weather, lighter outside. So it is expected. So let's see here. I spoke last month about the traffic enforcement day. It's set for June 16th of this month. Briefly, real quick, all of our contract cities have traffic officers or deputy sheriffs on motorcycles. They're all going to come out to Discovery Bay on June 16th and do a traffic saturation enforcement day. So you'll see a ton more police vehicles out here on the streets, well, sheriff's office vehicles. So don't be alarmed and don't be upset if they pull you guys over too. You got to talk to them.
We don't do that.
The 16th?
16th, yes, sir. As we know, 4th of July is coming up. 4th of July, we're going to be staffing with extra deputies throughout the evening, July 3rd and the 4th of July. We'll have extra patrol out, and we'll be utilizing the use of drones again this year. I think we have slated 3 drones to help out with combating the illegal fireworks. So hopefully keep rolling the success that we had last year. So.
The 3 drones are in Discovery Bay, or is that countywide?
There's going to be Discovery Bay, barring something that they need to go to and help out with. But yeah, they'll be out here.
Good coverage. Thank you,
sir. That's all I really have for you guys for this month. Any questions? Oh, I did give you guys CWS cards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you guys know what the community warning system is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you're not signed up, I encourage you, your family, friends, neighbors, please sign up. It's a useful tool. Just briefly, if you don't know what it is, during a catastrophic event, fire, earthquake, anything like that, or law enforcement activity where we want you to shelter in place, lock down, whatever it may be, if you're signed up, you get an alert to your phone directly from us telling you what to do, where to go, what not to do. So it's very useful, and it's very quick.
So you're hoping all the residents sign up for this program?
In Contra Costa County.
Do you have extras of the cards?
I do. I can leave them on the back table if you'd like.
That'd be wonderful.
Yes.
Maybe absolutely. We could put a link on our website too as well.
Sure. Yeah.
That would be great.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you
guys.
Thank you. Let's see, we had Highway Patrol in the audience. See you tonight. Thank you.
Good evening, Board. Thanks again for having us. Again, I am Officer Gilmore, the Public Information Officer for the Contra Costa Area CHP office. I have with me Sergeant Ferguson, one of our motor officers, motor sergeants, I should say. Normally, Sergeant Pruitt comes to some of these with us and whatnot, and so Sergeant Ferguson is filling in lieu of. So I'll cover a little bit of my area, and then I'll have him introduce himself after that. But so again, a public information officer, largely what I handle is public outreach and education, things like that, as well as media relations. So if you have anything that's, if you see anything coming out in the news or on socials or things like that, it's usually coming through me or someone that I'm working with. It just in terms of public relations and whatnot, we're always trying to get into different areas throughout our county. Obviously, our county is large, and as a highway patrol, we're not as concentrated as other departments. And so, but I'm happy to report that we've had recently we had six officers come off break-in about a month ago, and then we do have currently six more officers on training right now. So we are starting to see some staffing numbers increase. That being said, there are still people transferring in and out of the office as well. So whereas we might get four, we might lose two, things like that. But numbers are looking a little bit better than they were this time last year. So we're looking forward to that and having more officers out on the roadways. Though we may not always be out in Discovery Bay, we do police the roadways that you all take to get to and from Discovery Bay as well. So we share and see your frustrations out on Highway 4. We just continue to urge the public safety messages that at the end of the day, we encourage you to make safe choices and be the driver that you want to drive next to. I can't make you do that, but we can try to do our part to hold you accountable to when you decide not to be, right?
Is Highway 4 to between here and Stockton getting better, or is it
between here and Stockton? So we carry very, very little of that area from here to Stockton. We cover to Old River Bridge, and Stockton area then covers the rest of that area there and beyond. So I can't speak to Stockton's area specifically. They're handling the construction of the bridge and whatnot. I know that's what everyone's really concerned about, is the wrong way drivers that want to pass people covering the bridge. Like I said, Stockton really is the one in charge of handling that detail. So that doesn't fall under our purview as far as
to Old River Bridge.
Correct. But so say in like a construction zone, we will get contracted for various construction projects through Caltrans. The Stockton area office is the one that's getting the contract for handling the enforcement of that construction zone. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it might extend into our area a little bit, but at the end of the day, it's their, mm-hmm. they're the ones handling the enforcement on that. We don't have that contract.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Sorry, I'm going to keep asking questions.
No problem.
I think our concern is like the speedway zone, whether there's construction there or not.
Correct.
Trying to get out of Discovery Bay is almost next to impossible.
Yeah, I hear you. Like I said, we are working on staffing levels and whatnot. You know, as the lieutenant for SO mentioned, there is an increase in call volumes, especially in these warmer months and stuff. And so specifically during those hours of traffic to commute and whatnot, that's when our freeways are all getting jammed up and we're all busy in those areas. I hate to say that, hey, we're busy, but at the end of the day, we're still handling the calls that everyone is concerned with as well, right? And again, handling the roadways that come to and from Disco Bay, even if it's a little bit further, right? I know you guys are a little closer to the edge of the county for us and whatnot. We do still handle a lot of stolen vehicle calls, things like that out here. We have our agreements with SOs and in that regard. I do know that that has occurred recently. I hear the radio traffic for it. Yeah. That being said, I'll turn over to Sergeant Ferguson, just introduce himself, and then if you guys have any questions, feel free to ask.
Thank you.
I don't have much to introduce, unfortunately. I'm just the new guy taking over for John Pruitt. I understand that you guys recognize and know him. I'll be attending in his absence. So first time coming, glad to be here. I have nothing else to add, I'm sorry.
You're not too new, you got three stripes on your
I do not have those, so he brings that back.
Do we have your contact information? Do you have?
Yes, absolutely.
Wonderful. I
got some cards on me. You just take the pack and pass it down if you yes. wish. They'll probably be extras. That's okay. You can have them.
We promise we won't call.
Well, it's
for unnecessary reasons. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll do best out. Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate you guys. So
yeah, definitely.
Anytime you want to come back, and you're always welcome to Army.
Absolutely.
And we appreciate you doing the roads around us too, because a lot of us commute, and
yeah,
it's really important to see that that's being handled as well, so it doesn't go unnoticed.
I forgot to mention too, we have a group of senior volunteers, usually two or three of them, that we deploy out to this area with radar trailers to do speed surveys and things like that. Do a lot of the hot spots. I can't think of exact of all the locations that they come to, but they take rotations within the county, and I observe the sheets that they at the locations that they hit, and I know that they've done Discovery Bay at least a few times each quarter. So they are out here. They are dropping their trailers around. We got two trailers for them to pick up and drop in different locations throughout the county. So they're out here doing that. I know it's not specifically enforcement, but it is a deterrence. It provides that on-view patrol. They don't know that they're not officers because they're in our marked units, essentially. But show of force sometimes is a de-escalation as well, right? So, all right. Thanks for having us. Appreciate
it. Okay, moving forward, I don't see anyone from Confer. So we'll go to the presentation, our discussion items. G1, do we have Justin online?
Are you hearing me,
Justin? There you go.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
We hear you.
Great, great. Hi. Would you like me to begin the presentation? This is the part of the agenda where we're moving into the Urban Water Management Plan presentation and public hearing period.
Yes, please begin.
Okay, great. Looks like somebody has the PowerPoint up on the screen. So that's great. We could work from there. Hi, good evening. Tonight, this presentation is to provide the directors with an overview of the Urban Water Management Plan that's been prepared by Shobe Engineering in coordination with the staff. And this is an overview followed by the public hearing and a recommendation before the board to adopt the Urban Water Management Plan by resolution so that it could be submitted to the state by the deadline of July 1st this year. So that's that slide. We can go on to the next slide. So purpose, we'll just give you an overview of what it is. We did a presentation on this a couple weeks ago, I believe. And so we'll just provide a quick overview on what it is, what the findings are, and what the adoptions process is. And next slide. Thank you. So we know this is a state mandated document that's prepared every 5 years for urban water suppliers that supply over 3,000 acre feet per year or over 3,000 connections. This is a mandated document, of course, but it's essentially just a 25-year outlook on your supply and demand availability. It also is demonstrating compliance with the developing water conservation standards that the state is preparing. There's a guidebook, prescriptive requirements for what goes in the Urban Water Management Plan. And it's essentially just demonstrating that even through dry periods and drought periods that there's an available supply. So this document's essentially required by LAFCO when they go to approve development projects. And it's also required for any agencies that want to pursue state loans or grants. Okay, next slide. Thank you. We've been working on this for the last 7 to 8 months or so since the end of last year. And we did a presentation, just an overview of what the schedules looked like for the development of your 2025 Urban Water Management Plan. We did a few presentations this year on this. There was a population and demand projections in January that was providing you with the, establishing what the basis was for the growth that was presented, that's being presented in it. There was some notification that went out in conformance with the water code doing 60-day agency letters in February. We also prepared an update for the water shortage contingency plan, and the board made action to adopt that in March. The draft urban water management plan has been available for public review for the last 2 weeks, and there's been notices in accordance with the water code. So we're here tonight to provide the presentation and open it for, you know, it would be open for public hearing following this. And then if the board chooses to adopt the plan, they would adopt it by resolution, and we provided a resolution that could be used for that purpose. Once it's adopted, we would finalize it by including all of these notification information and adoption documents, and we would submit it to DWR. DWR would then get an opportunity to review it and let us know if there's any corrections or anything like that. That's simply so that's the process. We could go to the next slide. These are the chapters that are in the draft urban, or that are in the 2025 urban water management plan. There's a, in chapter one is a just a lay description of what the plan is and why it's required. And chapter two is describing all the notification and adoption procedures that were complied with. Chapter three defines your growth, the basis for the population growth. Chapter four is your defining your demand. How the demands are calculated in accordance and reflection on the newer state regulations for water conservation. And chapter five is just a report out on the state's compliance with the 20% reduction by the year 2020 and a forecast on some upcoming water use objective requirements. Chapter six is a summary of your supplies, which is informed closely by the town's groundwater sustainability plan that was adopted for the whole East Contra Costa subbasin. And then chapter seven is based on that information, an outlook on reliability and drought risk assessment. Chapter eight is the water shortage contingency plan, which has been adopted. So it's really a summary of that. And chapter nine describes the demand management measures, which is essentially conservation practices within the town, how leakage and demands are monitored and how we strive for conservation and water use. All right, that's that slide. So in the 20, what's new since 2020, in the 2025 Urban Water Management Plan, it's very similar to what was done 5 years ago. There was, of course, an update on population and demand. There was an update to the Water Shortage Contingency Plan. That was the first update of the water shortage contingency plan since it was first adopted 5 years ago. Since 2020, also the town has adopted the, along with the East Contra Costa Groundwater Sustainability Agencies, the GSP. And so that GSP informs a lot of the supply narrative that's in the urban water management plan. Another new update really for this 2025 is a report out on these developing regulations that I mentioned. So it's the water loss standards, which is SB 555, and the urban water use objectives, which is SB 606. So there's some information in the urban water management plan that describes those developing standards. All right, that's this slide. And this slide here is just kind of providing the basis for the growth that's shown in the plan. There's the project development areas within the town of Discovery Bay, which really establish the known infill and known developments for the growth patterns. It's assumed that would be developed over the next 10 to 15 years, those infill and development projects. And then beyond that, the growth pattern is unknown, but there's an assumption made that it would follow historical growth percentages moving on into the full 25-year horizon for planning. Next slide. This is just a chart showing the historic production and connections of the town, just to demonstrate that there was a significant reduction in production or use right around the drought period. A lot less water was being used due to mandated conservation and statewide conservation regulations. And then, but since then, there's been kind of establishing a new norm in terms of water demand. And that new norm from 2015 on is what the basis is for demand projections moving forward. All right, next slide. And this is, these tables here are just providing the numbers in terms of population estimates on five-year increments and water demand estimates on five-year increments. These are the tables that show up in the plan. And we presented these to the committee. Actually, it was, I guess, November 5th to the committee when we did that update. And so it's showing a growth from your current population of 15,865 is an estimate to a 25-year growth. I would say this is like a high-end estimate, the upper range estimate of 38,000. And based upon that, we develop water demand estimates, which your current use is 1,014 million gallons per year in 2025, would more than double to 2,432 million gallons per year. So this is a, like in a, if this were an aggressive growth pattern, this is what the demand would look like if that growth took place. Next slide. So then we look at supplies. If that demand does take place, if that type of growth does occur, is there supplies available? So from a the district is groundwater only and has infrastructure that's really sized for your daily flow needs. The urban water management plan really is just looking at annual water supply availability. But just for context, your wells and your filters and your treatment plants currently produce 6 million gallons per day. Once your new well 8 is online, you'll have a total capacity of a reliable capacity of 8 million gallons per day with your largest well offline. That's assuming that's your kind of reliable capacity. Anyway, from an annual perspective, the East Contra Costa Subbasin through the GSP reports that there's an available supply of Discovery Bay through the planning horizon through 2050 of about 7,500 acre feet per year. And that's about 2,500 million gallons per year. And so that's the basis that was used in the GSP for the sustainability plan development. All right, next slide. Based on all that information, there does appear to be adequate supplies in the district's groundwater supply. If the growth pattern turns out to be that case and there's 2,400 million gallons per year by 2050, the current GSP is identifying an available supply of about 2,500 million gallons per year. This is also just to note that the GSP is a document that's monitored every year through monitoring and identifying thresholds, and they have to review and update the GSP every 5 years. So that basis is evaluated as time moves on, that basis of sustainability. But at this point in time, looking forward, there's no expected impacts to the district supply during normal or single dry or multiple dry years. Next slide. So the real update in the urban water management plan that's different from prior years is this, which is the state's developing regulations on water loss and water use. So they have the water loss standard, which is in SB 555, which established first that agencies start doing water audits to determine the amount of losses and leakage in their system. And those audits have been being done since 2016. The town's been complying with that, doing validated water audits every year. The state also has put forth this urban water use objectives standard. This is where they establish that indoor residential standard of 55 gallons per capita per day. There isn't any enforcement happening on these regulations yet. It's looking like enforcement would begin in 2028. Right now we're kind of in the like preparation implementation phase. So they're kind of tracking and forecasting where, you know, what each agency has in terms of meeting these standards. So in terms of the water loss standard, the state has established a baseline and an assigned value for every agency. And it's specific to every agency. Every agency has their own standard that's been applied to them based upon their specifics about their system. And it's all pretty much informed from those water audits that have been being done over the last, since 10 years or so. Discovery Bay has a baseline water loss of 19.9 gallons per capita per day. This is what they call the real water loss. So it's an estimate of essentially physical leakage from your system, 19 gallons per, I'm sorry, not capita, 19 gallons per service connection per day, 19.9, say 20. The state has established a standard for the town based upon a four-year period of those audits, and they established based on an economic model that they put forth, saying that the town should try to achieve 13.9. So they should try to reduce the water losses. In relation to that is the most recent water audit, which shows there's actually a much higher loss that's occurring. 63.2 is what just occurred recently. But this water loss varies widely from year to year, and it's and the district's standard of 19.9 was established from the years that took place before the meters were installed. So there's probably good reason to go back to the state later, and it doesn't have to happen as part of the urban water management plan or anything like that. The urban water management plan is simply just reporting the numbers. So I just wanted to provide a little bit of context about that. But there is still opportunity to update the standard that's assigned to the district, is my main point. And that's based upon our findings here, seems like something that would be something that we'll be following up on. So just wanted to report that. So that's good for this slide. Key takeaways for your urban water management plan is that you have adequate supplies. There's conservative assumptions made for growth and demand. And the groundwater remains reliable, and the plan, the urban water management plan itself, is consistent with all state requirements. Next slide. I think that's it. Okay, we're here for the public hearing, and to the next step would be to do that, to have any comments and discussion that you'd like to have, and consider, we recommend you adopt the urban water management plan so we can submit it to DWR. That's good. That's the rest of it. Thanks.
Thank you. Nice presentation. Legal, should I open up for public comments at this point?
Yes, sir. So it would be a public hearing. So same public.
No. Well, then we'll open up public comments. Is there anyone online that wishes to address us regarding this issue?
There are no hands raised.
Anyone in the audience that wants to address us? All right. Seeing none, I will close public comments and bring it back to the board for motion or further discussion.
Motion to adopt resolution is recommended by staff.
I second that motion.
Roll call, please.
Dr. Belcher?
Aye.
Dr. Graham?
Aye.
Dr. Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Couteau?
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Justin. Another.
Thanks. All right, y'all have a good night.
Just for the record, I'd like to note that Director Belcher left the meeting at 7:29 p.m.
I guess moving forward to G2, is Margaret online?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Hey, Margaret.
Hello. Good evening, everyone. I'm here to present the discussion and possible action to adopt Resolution 2026-04, Notice of Intent to Levy and Collect the Annual Assessment on the Ravenswood Improvement, otherwise known as Zone 9, for the fiscal year 26-27, and then set the public hearing. So attached for you in the report today is the engineer's report prepared by Herwitt Engineering, This is the annual report that was approved by the board in April for them to proceed and take information from staff to be able to prepare that report. That report was submitted to us in May, and that information is presented for you today to consider the changes to the annual assessment. Based off of their recommendation in the report indicates that the assessment rate would increase by 3.8% to a new rate of that's $33 higher than what we see it today. That rate takes us to $853. Did I get my number right? Or am I saying last year's? No, that was last year's or current year. The new rate would go up to $885.46. With that, the in report has met all the needs that's required for us. And the next step for us is to set the public hearing. We are recommending the next regular board meeting, which is June 17th at 7 p.m. to set that public hearing for us to hear comments and then for the board to consider it at that June 17th meeting. That concludes my report and happy to answer any questions.
Do we have to make a motion for to put on next agenda?
Yes, public comment, and then take a motion, please.
Well, thank you. We'll open up to public comment. Is there anyone online that wishes to make a public comment?
There are no hands raised.
Is there anyone in the audience? Terry, please come up.
Yeah, hi, Terry Mahaney. I live here in Discovery Bay. Is that 800 and whatever it is that just for Ravenswood or is that for everybody in Discovery Bay?
Just for Ravenswood.
Just Ravenswood. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so nice.
Which I'm a member of.
Question, Andy. So we're adopting a resolution to, and the resolution is to make public notice?
Yeah, so it's a notice of intent.
It's a notice of intent. So it's a procedural step in the process to assess because you're establishing an assessment.
Okay, so that so tonight that resolution is to show intent.
Correct.
Is there another resolution that actually, is there going to be a follow-up resolution to that?
Correct. So at your next hearing, there'll be an implementation resolution.
Thank you. That's what I need to clarify.
Is there any other public comments? Seeing none, then I will bring it back to the board for a motion.
Staff recommendation for resolution 2026-04.
Second? Oh, before. You can second it.
I'll second it.
Roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Couteau?
Aye. Motion carries. All right, Margaret, stay in the line, please. I guess you have another one for G3.
G2 or G3, yes. So the item before you today is to discuss and possible action to set the public hearing to adopt the fiscal year 2026-2027 operating and capital budget. So by means of presentation, the staff did present at the May 5th special board meeting a budget workshop to go over the proposed budget that reflects the revenues and expenses to support our water, our wastewater, our Zone 8, which covers your landscape and your community center, and then Zone 9 landscape area. In that, we talked about the challenges that we have there and then sort of our responses there. So this past year, we have done a number of resources and tools to provide us the means to be able to really assist in the district in sort of this long-term planning. This aligns well with the new goals and missions that has been reviewed and by the board as something that we're following through on. With that said, as far as the budget document itself, the only changes that have been made to the budget document were two things. One had to do with the Zone 9 assessment that was just discussed. Since we did receive the engineer's report, we wanted to update to reflect those numbers so that they align to what the assessment report shares. And the second is that in the month of May, the state of California provides the information to share out on the information that we would use for our Zone 8 ad valorem tax. So that information has been updated. Just by matter of reference, that information was slightly lower than what was anticipated. And so that has been reflected in there, and all related schedules have been updated to reflect that small decline, if you will, between what was shared at the May 5th meeting and what is in this final budget for consideration. So again, wanted just to share with you the budget that will be presented at the June 17th meeting. And again, the action for you today is to set the public hearing for June 17th at 7 p.m. There at the district office or building that you're sitting in today. With that, that concludes my report, and happy to answer any questions.
I don't see any questions, so let's go ahead and open up to public comments. Is there anyone online?
No hands raised.
Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to make a public comment? Seeing none, close public comments. I'll bring it back to the board.
This was something in the finance meeting we agreed on. So
we've had many meetings over the budget.
Many meetings.
Many meetings, yeah.
I make a motion to accept staff's recommendations.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Gutteau?
Aye. Thank you. Margaret, one more for you. The
Yes.
G4.
You got plenty with me tonight. Yes, G4 is here for a discussion and possible action to approve an audit fee increase. So, as the board is aware, we have an annual audit that is performed by CliftonLarson and our CLA by reference. And they are in their third year agreement with us. But what's different this year is the fact that the district has implemented a new software that we are using to for transactions, for reporting. And as part of their internal controls review for the district, it's making sure that they understand the controls that are in place. This information, of course, was not known at the time that we did go into a three-year agreement with them. And so, as part of our discussions leading into the fiscal year 25-26 audit, there was some discussion as it relates to making sure that the internal controls within the new financial software are meeting the needs as they were in the old system. So there does require some additional work by CLA to be able to perform that work. They're estimating about 40 hours to ensure all those steps are in place. And so they have given us a letter to request some additional hours to support that work. And so the request for you today is to approve and authorize the general manager to amend the town service contract agreement with CLA for $6,500 for a total not to exceed of $152,785 to perform the additional work associated with the fiscal year and the audit ending June 30th, 2026. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
I don't see any questions. Let's go ahead and open up to public comments.
No hands are raised.
Anyone in the audience? Hearing none, bring it back to the board.
I just make a comment. Finance committee did review these recommendations. We would encourage the board to move forward with them.
Yes, please.
I'll make a motion to approve and authorize the general manager to amend the service contract for a total of not to exceed $6,500.
I'll second that.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Gutteau?
Aye. Thank you, Margaret.
Thank you.
Okay, do we have any, do we have a manager's report?
Yes, we do. One report this evening.
Hello, Monica.
Good evening. Are we giving you a pool update? So we published all this on social media today, but we are going to start opening the pool. So yay, yay. So our opening schedule is going to be recreational swim is going to start out June 12th. It will be Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays from 12 to 6. We will begin adult lap swim, free adult lap swim. It will start out Monday through Thursday, June 15th. That will be Monday through Thursday from 9 to 3. And then June 27th, school goes back, kids, rec swim won't be on Fridays. We'll move that to 5 days a week for the same time, 9 to 3. And then water fitness is going to start out 2 days a week. They will be in there Mondays and Wednesdays from 3 to 4, beginning June 15th. So that's gonna be our start. And then as we gain more staff, it is all subject to change. We'll increase as we're comfortable with our staffing levels.
Is the lifeguards coming aboard, or are we still kind of a little?
It's happening. Yeah.
Slowly.
Yeah, that we're comfortable with what we have with the schedule. And then, like I said, as we continue onboarding and getting more in, we'll increase to meet our staffing.
How many have we hired? Eight? How many?
We have four, I believe, right now that are like ready to go. And then we've got another four that we've sent offer letters to, and we're just waiting on them to become certified. So once they pass that and get their certification, we will welcome them to put them to work.
Do you happen to know how long it takes to get a certification?
It depends on the program that you do, but traditionally it's like a 3 solid, like 8 hour type days. It's a lot of, you want to do it? You have to be real strong.
Is there a uniform requirement?
There is. We will provide that for you. Still accepting applications.
Thank you for the update.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Do we have any other manager's report?
Two items, general manager updates. The administrative building progress. The construction plan review is complete with the county, so that's very exciting. However, the stormwater Owen management review, there are still a few outstanding items identified by the county, and Mobile Modular is working on the response as we speak. The permits are expected in the next 2 to 4 months. So there we are with that. Ad hoc building meeting. We had an ad hoc committee meeting on June 2nd to discuss the bid opening of the new AB system. We received 2 bids, and the committee seated board members will provide an update under director's reports. The bids will be presented at the next board meeting on June 17th. That is the end of my report.
Dina, so back to talking about the new building. So rough idea. I mean, what, and I know this is crystal ball time, but when do you think they'll actually start?
It depends on when the report permits, we receive the permits. So as soon as we receive the permits, we're hoping that we'll go within the next 2 to 3 weeks, they'll start. And then I think from there, it takes about anywhere from 6 to 8 months to put everything together.
What was our original plan?
In 1963, we
It's been such a long time in the permitting process. I think we were supposed to be in the building by last Christmas. So.
The county is giving
us. You just cursed us.
I want to share a comment that Stephen made, our general manager, when I had this discussion with him because of his knowledge of the county and his prior experience. I hope I'm not stealing your thunder, Stephen. He pointed out the fact that we probably weren't given realistic ideas from our contractor and from our consultant, not knowing what was involved with Contra Costa County. And if you look at some of the historic things that have happened in the area, i.e. the school over here, which used the same company, 2 years probably would have been a more valid estimate than the 12 months we were originally given. So yes, the county, there's no excuse. The county should not have to take that long. No other county does. It's just Contra Costa County. But our anxiousness has come from unrealistic expectations.
Thank you. Thanks, Stephen, for your update.
Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin. Director reports. Ashley?
Yeah. So we held a special internal ops committee meeting. We were discussing, we had a very passionate discussion regarding a couple of the policies, eight and one other. So those are going to come back to the committee and we're going to reevaluate. And then probably in the next one or two committee meetings, we'll be bringing some stuff to the board.
Great. I guess there's a finance committee meeting as well.
Kevin, I'll let you do that one.
Oh, you guys pretty much heard our meeting. Margaret did her thing. She was on board. And the only thing else we discussed was the bi-monthly finance report that she gives to the finance committee, where basically we see everything is pretty close to in budget. And, you know, there's the constant adjustments being made to the budget for future to make sure that we're as accurate as possible. But really, overall, it's really doing a fine job.
Great. And then water, wastewater.
We had an update on well 8, which is the new well in Seagrass, and where we are, what still needs to be done, which is waiting on PG&E at this point in time. And then we'll be pretty much ready to roll.
Well, actually, I have a director report as well. Yesterday, I had the privilege of speaking at the SIRS event. The group of about 80 individuals, and SIRS are the Sons in Retirement, if you've heard them before. So they wanted a little information about Discovery Bay, so they asked me to come, and I did speak to them at their luncheon. So
that's awesome. You're well received.
I think I should.
It was not a hostile environment.
Well, no, but I think it's always interesting to like go do those things and present what we do and, you know, in a different environment than.
Yeah, it was very enjoyable, and I, you know, I got something out of it.
It's great.
Oh yeah, so the ad hoc meeting, we need to report. So, as you guys will recall, we were given some bids on AV work for the new board chambers. We only had one qualified applicant. It was pretty expensive. We instructed staff to put it back out for bid because we didn't feel that they were qualified, that the bids were coming in qualified and competitive. It went back out for bid. It came back with two very qualified bids, of which they were $80,000 savings to the town because, and that's because we went out back out for competitive. So I want to thank staff for doing that and for being diligent about that and saving everybody some money.
And just to clarify, we went out for rebid because there was missing pieces from each one of the bids that came in. So it wasn't that we went out because we didn't like them, but because each person that brought in their bid was missing a component that didn't meet our bid requirements.
No, that's a huge improvement, so congratulations. Yes. Do we need to go over the training reports? The regional reports?
I went over the East County water management last week.
Or just acknowledge them?
Yes.
Andy, do I need to go over the all the training reports or just acknowledge them?
No, so those are just acknowledged because those are, as in accordance with your compensation policy, establishes the meetings that were attended and the reports that are.
Got it. Any correspondence? Do we have a legal report? Future agenda item? All right. Well, with that, then I will turn it back over to legal so we can go into closed session.
Thank you, Chair. So the Town Discovery Bay Board of Directors will adjourn to closed session to address items listed on the agenda as 01, Public Employee Performance Evaluation, and 02, Conference with Labor Negotiators. We should return after to address item P1.
Yes, they can. They can see you.
Hey, Terry, I bring this coming up close session.
So the Town Discovery Bay will reconvene into open session. All members were present with the exception of Director Belcher. There's nothing to report. Direction was given. The next item on the agenda, P1, is up for the board's review and consideration. Amend the item P1 is amend the general manager's employment agreement. So,
does it go to public comment?
Yeah, do you want to
make a motion,
set it up, and then go to public comment up to the chair? So, explain what is going to be amended in the agreement. Okay. If there's any public comment, and then after that, we can take action through motion second.
Can you explain details?
Is there amounts? Is it the number?
Correct. Yeah. So okay. It's a requirement of the Brown Act does require agency executives have a disclosure.
The decision by the board was to amend the general manager's compensation from her current position to an annual amount of $260,000 per year.
I think just reporting as a board and what we discussed is everything that Dana has done for this town has been really good. We also had looked at a comp study and cost study, and according to other agencies, we've been way below that. And so I think it's time to get you mm-hmm. where you need to be.
Where you should be.
Yeah.
And we also took into consideration the evaluations, and they were everything exceeded expectations, except for one little category. But your performance, which is what the majority of the evaluation was, warranted consideration by the board, and so we made that consideration.
We want you to stay here. I think when you look at the overall of where we've come and where we're going, you've been a big part of that.
It's appreciated.
Is there any public comments? Anyone online? Is there any public comments in the audience? I will close public comments.
Agree
back to the board.
Yeah, I would move that we amend the general general manager's contract to reflect the decision made tonight.
A second.
Roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Couteau?
Aye. That then 8:33. Be injured.